Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron, and in the studio I've got Tux from Lost Tribe, Aotearoa. Good morning.
Kia ora, bro. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Enjoying the sunny day out here.
Yeah, yeah. And we've just been talking off the air about the massive amount of music come out of Raglan in the last sort of 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, eh? Mate, it's been amazing, eh? Especially following a few of the notable names like Maruki coming up from Cloak Bay, Messiah, Reiki, and then what they're doing at the moment. You know, some groundbreaking music coming out of Aotearoa. You know, out of Raglan, small little town, eh?
And you actually know a bit about Silver Surfer, who we were playing as you walked into the studio.
Bro, legend.
I know nothing, so if you can tell us anything, it'd be good.
So those lads, they had one of the boys used to play drums straight out of Raglan. One of Boydie's students was actually their drummer back in the days. So I got to watch them as like being the bouncer on the door at the Yachty. You know, right. one of the bonuses of being in that position is you get to see every bit of music come through Raglan. And these kids, amazing, you know what I mean? Punk music, but their own sort of style. But yeah, and they've come a long way. I know they played a gig down South Island a couple of years ago before COVID hit. They were sort of on a massive stride. They played Sound Splash.
Yeah.
But yeah, they sort of came through with this new age punk sound. So, you know, they played a few gigs with us and hopefully get them on for a few more.
Yeah. I only found about them literally this morning, but you've been the bouncer on the door. You know way more about the local scene than I would. Is that like an education in music for you, being a bouncer?
Definitely. You know, I'm not a drinker. I don't really dabble in the sport of drinking, but you know, I think the bonus of actually working down at the yacht club for myself is to be able to sit back and enjoy the music that comes through. And we're pretty lucky to have a venue like that in New Zealand. There's not many. Like, we travel around Aotearoa a lot.
Yeah.
And there's only a handful of bars that play live original music from New Zealand.
Is that right?
Yep.
It's changed so much.
There's not many. A lot of them, like, most towns will prefer having cover bands. So it's very hard to tour New Zealand with your own music, because without a name, you know, you've sort of got to form your name and then try to slowly push yourself out there to let these venues like the Butter Factory, the Tuning Fork, Yacht Club. There's only a handful.
Is that one of the reasons why we get so many good bands coming through town?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the reasons. This is a very well-known venue in New Zealand between all artists, you know, from all sizes. You know, Tikitani plays here a lot, where you see him on main stages. And Sam, everything that comes through Raglan, we're lucky to have. We're lucky to have, because those guys, if they're not playing festivals, then they don't really have another place to play in New Zealand.
Yeah. Although, but people like coming to Raglan too. Like, even when I interview people, I say, we can do an interview on the phone. And they're like, no, I'm coming from, you know, 2 hours away. I'd rather come to Raglan for the interview. So
definitely, bro. Yeah. It's a beautiful spot. Beautiful spot.
Hey, so you guys have got a new single out, just came out in the last month, called Shaka.
Yep.
And you got the video came out on the 1st of May as well.
Yep. So that was filmed at Sound Splash.
Is that the easy way to make a video? Or had you planned that? Because that looked like it was filmed properly.
Yeah. So what actually happened was we got New Zealand On Air funding for another video clip, which will be coming out, I think, next summer. I think we're planning it for next summer. So we got two in the barrel at the moment. So we'll be dropping one in about next month. And then we've got a big one. So he actually filmed that footage, but it didn't fit with the theme of the video clip.
Oh yeah.
So he pretty much sent it through with Shuckers in the background, just being like, you boys keen just to have this video just for, you know, the fun of it.
Oh, okay. So you just got that as an extra.
Yeah, so it was actually just extra footage he put together. And it's kind of cool because that was the last gig before we had that last lockdown. So, you know, fun little memory of that. And it's at Sound Splash, you know. Yeah. That was our first festival we ever played, that Nyan Bri gave us the opportunity to join in on. So yeah.
And how was that? Did you get, what stage were you on at that first one?
Roots and Culture, the stage I love. I love Roots. Main stage is mean, and all the other stages, but Roots and Culture, it was kind of weird. It was sort of way back in this little corner under a big old walnut tree next to a pond. So it was pretty beautiful little spot out there.
Awesome. And does this mean, if you put out a single now, is there an album coming?
So there's an EP coming.
An EP.
So we got a 4-song EP we've had in our back pockets for a while now. We were wanting to drop it maybe a year ago, but with all this COVID and all these restrictions and everything, our plans to drop it actually got fumbled a few times. So we staggered our plans out, and then, you know, you sort of got to drop a song and then do a little tour with it, or, you know, build up a little hype behind it, but we haven't been able to. So we've sort of kept it in our back pocket, waiting for the right time to actually drop our music. And we thought, after all the stuff, we were just like, we just need to get it out there so we can start, you know, moving forwards and getting our album done.
Yeah, and that little list I was showing you before, that, like, there were not a lot, not as many songs came out 2021, but there's been already, now we're just in May, there's been more songs come out this year than last year.
Yeah.
Locally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the reasoning behind it, like, our reasoning was, you know, just the restrictions that COVID sort of had on us, being able to tour our music and, you know, get the best out of it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm interested in two of the videos. Like, you guys put a bit of effort into your videos, I reckon, looking at them. You don't just knock something out. Like, there's, you know, is it an important focus, you think, for getting the music out there?
Yeah, I think so. You know, along with our music, we like pushing messages in our music, you know, message of, you know, good messages. You know, it's not about getting on it, partying and doing stuff like that. It's about, you know, current things that are actually happening within our systems today. So, with lyrics like that we try to push, you know, I think you've got to have a little bit more thought go into the videos, you know, so you can do a visual push as well as a vocal push.
Yeah, okay. And I don't know if I've ever asked this question, but why, what is the name about Lost Tribe Aotearoa? I mean, we know what those words mean, but what's the story?
I don't really like putting a story behind it.
Okay.
Because everyone's, you know, we do have our stories, and we got our stories. Everyone's sort of got their own view on it. And I sort of love that as a piece of art, you know.
Yeah.
You know, piece of visual art, because, you know, Lost Tribe Aotearoa, what does it mean to you? Mm. It's not so much, you know, I've got my thoughts, and I'll tell you my thoughts. So my one was all about our lost people in Aotearoa. You know what I mean? Our Māori that, you know, got taken from their homes and don't actually know where they're from.
Yeah.
But then it goes a bit broader than that. You know, it's sort of like people that aren't from Aotearoa that come to New Zealand that feel a little bit lost, you know. It's sort of welcome them into our tribe and being like, well, haramai, you know, we're the Lost Tribe Aotearoa, join our tribe. And, you know, but everyone else, I've heard different stories, you know, the 13th tribe of Israel as well. Yeah, you know, there's heaps of different connotations that people put to it, and I think leaving it so open like that sort of lets people connect to the name of our band as well. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. Hey, going back to 2018 when Irie came out and you got the MyFM Big Break competition, you won that?
Yep.
How much of a big deal was that to you guys?
I don't think it really hit us right at the start how big it was. We just freshly recorded that song, so, and it had been mastered and everything, so I picked it out of all of the songs and actually put it into the competition, just thinking, like, we'll have a go. FMs are like, it's a rap radio, it's R&B rap, and we're sort of not that.
Yeah.
But you know, for them choosing our song and actually playing it online, and for New Zealand to be like, that's a sick song, and you know, getting regular rotation and then getting put into the top 10 tracks in New Zealand for 2018, it's a massive feat. Now that I look back on it, that's pretty epic for your first sort of song. And that song there is probably one of the most well known songs. You know, we still get people like, "You guys made that song, bro? I didn't even know that." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was, at that time, there was actually no face to name. It was sort of that early on in our career of music. Yeah. Hey? So yeah.
Do you need kind of, I don't know, I don't want to call it a lucky break because the music chose itself in a way, but do you need that kind of thing to happen?
It's always helpful.
Yeah.
I think if you make good enough music that can shine, then I think that's enough, you know what I mean? So if your music shines and you're true to your music, true to your craft, I think that will push through a lot of things, you know, that'll have people talking, that'll have people going. So
yeah,
it does help. It does definitely help. But, you know, I think the music that you make is probably the best push that you have.
And did you sign with a record label or anything like that? Did you go through that?
No. So we're a self-managed independent band. So it'd be nice too, but I think it's beautiful how the band is now. Like, we are a family band, and I think that we're free to choose what sort of music we make. We don't have any regulations or rules of what we can make artistic-wise. So it keeps it pure in my eyes that, you know, we've all got full-time jobs, you know. I'm not a full-time, 3 days, 4 days a week. That's good with me, but that's the lifestyle I live. But, you know, we pay our own rents through our own means. So the actual band, Lost Tribe Aotearoa, is more a collective crew of friends that just love to make music and play music. So
And there's no pressure on you to churn out a particular type of music or anything.
That's exactly, you know, that's what I mean. It's pure to what our eyes see as music or what our artistic view on music is. We keep true to, like, well, that sounds mean. It may not be what's cool at the moment. Yeah. It may not be what the top tiered bands are doing. It may not be this, may not be that, but we think it's cool, so we'll keep it.
So did you see that? There's a thing online just recently about the singer Halsey, and her record company was telling her they're not going to release her new music until she basically fakes a viral video on TikTok.
No, I haven't. She's
told she has to do that, and she has to make up something and make it look natural, do it on TikTok. So instead she's released something on TikTok, which is her complaining about her record company and telling that story, so which probably has gone viral, actually, thinking about it.
Big up yourself, Halsey. You're a legend, mate. That's the best way to do it, mate. Like, you can't let these people control you as much as they want to.
She does have a legal contract, so I don't know how it's going to work out. But
it's going to suck. Yeah. I reckon it's definitely going to suck for you, but, you know, you stay true to yourself. So I think in the music industry, that shines more than anything else. You know, a lot of top 10 songs, a lot of songs that go massive in the world are songs that record companies don't actually like. You know, I watched a documentary on Shaggy.
Yeah.
And he made a song, and the record companies were like, I'm not playing that song ever. I'm not going to do that song. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But then he released it, and he found another company to release it. Boom. Number one around the world for days.
I thought the record companies were just into the money these days.
Yeah. I think their idea of the money is like, follow that, follow that, follow that.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? But I think if you go out of that zone and you do something that's different, you know, I think that's shined upon more than following the leader, eh?
I heard this story via someone who knew someone in the music industry in the US and said that they'd seen the file, which is the whole raw file of the edit when you're putting the song together.
Yep.
And that they were trying to make a hit song, and basically the bottom layer was another hit song from just a few years ago.
Yep.
And basically they were just copying it, making it a little bit different, and then crediting the original writers of the original song. And they're like, they weren't even trying to come up with something new. They were like, well, that was a hit 5 years ago, so if we do something similar, we'll be a hit again.
Pretty much, mate. It's that old recipe, you know, that old recipe that everyone sort of sits on, that, you know, a lot of record companies do that. Through my eyes, you know, I can't speak for them because, you know, I'm not really rubbing too many shoulders with them, but there is a sound that does run through a lot of music that you hear on the top 10 or hear through the radio, you know what I mean? There's no, it only takes one to change that mold, though, eh? And you see it through Lorde. Lorde started a generation, you know what I mean? You know, she started that sort of sound, big fat bass, synth, simple stripped back, but then from her, you know, led into a whole lot of other people doing that. Staying with Sticky Fingers, you know what I mean? Yeah. They started the generation of music, like, especially like reggae, rootsy sort of surf rock music, you know what I mean? And they started that, and you've got other bands off the back of that that are still resonating today. So
it feels like we're ripe for that to happen again at the moment, doesn't
it? That's exactly it. I can't wait to see what happens, you know. I can't wait to see which band comes through and changes the sound or changes the dynamic of music in New Zealand and around the world.
So do you pay attention as a band to what's happening in those other areas, different types of music, and think maybe we'll incorporate some of that? Or we're not talking about the cheesy, overly commercialised stuff, but just generally around the place.
Yeah, I think we do draw a bit of, you know, ideas from other bands. You know, we've got that, you know, what do you call it, bass face. You know, when you get the bass face, you're sitting in the van, you're like, oh, what is this? You know, definitely helps us in some ways, maybe be a breakdown or a piece of live music that we'll do that we'll just try to incorporate just because we love the sound of it.
But we're not
on the hunt for it either, you know what I mean? I respect good music and listen to good music, but nah, we try to keep it keep it to us.
And because you've got the song Shaka out, is there going to be a tour coming as well?
Yeah, so we're planning a tour. I think we're hitting Butter Factory down in Coonie for Mardi Gras. So the day before Mardi Gras, we'll be playing down there. I think it's the 18th of June.
Yeah.
18th?
I don't know.
Yeah, 17th, 18th of June, which is one of our local hits down there, you know.
Yeah.
Big up Stu and the King's Hotel down there. And I think we're just going to keep it still pretty relaxed during winter. You know, we've had to cancel so many tours, and it's kind of hard on the bank when you start promoting. You're trying to promote your gigs, and then, boom, it gets cut in half. So I think for this winter, we'll keep it cool, release some music for the people, try to build a bit more hype up, and then bang out on summer, get a few festivals out the way. So,
does the orange setting, what difference does that make much difference? Because I heard we're staying in it for a little while. The government just announced this week, I think.
I don't even know, eh?
The op club's open. It seems normal, does it?
I think it is kind of normal, bro. I don't actually know. I think orange is still pretty normal. I think green's just no one needs to wear masks. I think
green's almost nothing to worry about.
We might not
see that for a while.
Well, that's it. Well, we played a festival last month, New Zealand Spirit Festival. So we headlined that.
Yeah,
and there were no masks. And there were a few thousand people and a big shed.
Mind you, I think a lot of that crowd were people who didn't want to wear a mask as well.
Yeah, definitely.
yeah, for sure. Hey, so what sort of music do you listen to?
Oh, I'm pretty across the board, eh?
Yeah.
I love my minimal, Paul Kalkbrenner.
Right.
I love metal, you know,
yeah?
Slipknot,
really?
Bro. Yeah, I'm a Slipknot fan.
Wow.
Like new age metal.
Yeah.
I'm probably getting a few haters out there. I'm across the board. You know, I started off as a folk singer, which is kind of weird because I've got like this real like...
Oh, you can do that?
Yeah. I've got this like real... goatee sounding voice when I sing on the tracks, and it's loud. And like,
but now I'm imagining you doing metal, see?
No, you should be doing metal and
death metal.
Death metal, just the full whoa.
Yeah.
But I started off really singing folk music, and it wasn't until I really came back home, I sort of got in touch with my reggae roots again, what I listened to growing up, and then fell back on that and found my love for reggae again. So, sort of one thing led to another. And here we are, reggae band.
Cool. Hey, I want to do a best gig, worst gig story from you. What's the best? Do you know what's the best gig, or can you think of a best gig you guys have done?
The best gig was this funny story. I'll try to shorten the story down a bit. Picture this, guys. We pull up. We got this festival. We're headlining this festival. Don't know where it is. It's like at the back of Waipawa, which is the Waipukero, which is in Hawke's Bay.
Yeah,
and this. Like, you blink, you drive through the town.
Yeah.
One of those situations. So we pull up to this place, and this is where I learned the biggest lesson in my musical life. So we pull up to this place, and it's just like, picture this, scene set, stage there. It's a house cut in half with, like, an A-frame roof.
Yeah.
And there's a death metal band playing on there, and they're playing some Tool-sounding stuff. And I'm like, I love Tool, and I'm like, what's happening? There's about four guys standing around a barrel that's on fire, drinking Steinies, and it's 10 in the morning. I'm like, oh, bro. I'm like, who done this gig? Who booked this gig? So we all jump out of the van. We're playing at nighttime, but we thought we'd get down a little bit earlier and, you know, suss the vibe out. But as we're driving through the town, you see like a big parking lot of caravans. We thought it was there. So when we pull up to this place, we see those guys. It's like pouring buckets, like wet.
Yeah.
Miserable, and we're all sitting in the gig van, like, don't want to stand outside because it's raining its ass off, and we're sitting there drinking away, and we're like, oh no, bro, I'm not feeling this.
Yeah.
Jump back out, another metal band jumps up, and these guys are like blacked out, like, and there's some older farmers tweaking off their heads, walking around. I'm just like, bro, this, I'm not kind of keen on this. I'm not too sure how our music's going to go down with these people. So, you know, it gets to like 8 o'clock, and then we see some belly dancers. I'm like, oh, belly dancers? I'm like, that's a bit different, bro, from metal bands that have jumped up before. And so blah, 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 and I'm sort of not stoked on this. But then we get up, and then out of the woodwork, just people just cram the stage in front of us, and it was just like a sea of people.
Yeah.
And we played probably one of the best gigs. It was the most, if you picture it, it was like the rave party of live music.
Yeah,
the party went to 5 in the morning. So all the way through, live music, no DJs, nothing. And it was called Sanctuary of Sound. So my thoughts, was I fully judged the book by the cover. I was like, this is going to be horrible. You know, we're not going to fit in. But it's probably one of the best gigs that we played in this crazy little town. But through that gig, we got 4 or 5 festivals. They were like, it'd been running for like 20 years or so.
Right.
So it was like,
no one heard of it or something.
No, it's super deep set and it's been there for years.
Yeah.
And a lot of bands have actually, Cornerstone Roots have come through and played there. So it was actually, you know, really well known. And there were groups of people that just come for the different styles of music that they play. So they're really across the board. So never judge a book by its cover. Never judge a book by its cover. So that was probably my favorite one. And then, that's probably favourite and worst, because I thought it was the worst and it was my favourite. Yeah, so there way. We go, 2-1.
There's 2-1. All right, we've got a 2-1 deal with that. Hey, I was just looking on your Facebook page and I saw some Hawaiian station in Las Vegas discovered your music, obscure.
Yeah. So we got put, they found our music and put us on their
Pipeline to Paradise. I see
Pipeline
that.
To Paradise. They put us on their listen in. We got a new song for you guys and put it in. And the song went really well. Really, really well. So now
this is Shaka.
Yeah. So now we're in permanent rotation in Las Vegas playing on the airwaves. How's that? And they actually they messaged us before and asked if we could send the rest of if we got any more music. So we're gonna send the rest of our albums over to them and they're gonna chuck them all on rotation, hopefully. And
man, you just don't know what's happening out there, do you?
That's exactly it, mate. But that's how you start building pots of people around the world.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, folks, we're talking to Tux from Lost Tribe Aotearoa. We're just about at the end of the interview. I think we're gonna play Shaka on the way out. We've got a couple more minutes. Do you want to tell us the story around Shaka? What it's about?
It's loosely based around this town. Yeah. You know, it's that hand signal. You know, Shaka. It's all about, you know, because we're kind of addicts on doing the shaka in this town. It's part of that surf culture. It's part of, you know, it's part of the Hawaiian culture, so links to Māori and Hawaiian specific. It's sort of that the feeling that is actually behind this hand signal. There's a lot of negative connotations behind that hand signal.
Right.
You know, because a gang uses it, but the real well-being of that hand signal was, you know, peace, love, and unity, you know, sharing and spreading love between people. So the lyrics in this song are all based around that. You know what I mean? It's like shaka to your rockers.
Yeah.
So, you know, the rocker ones, and then shaka to your rusters. So it's sort of like the mix between rockers and rusters, because they're two different type of people, you know, being on the same ground and, you know.
And for people who don't know what that hand signal is, we're doing little finger and thumb out the sides.
Little finger and thumb out the sides, like that.
And the rest of the fingers bent down.
Bent down.
Yeah. I'm trying to describe. I've never had to describe that before.
Describe a shaka for us, mate.
Yeah. Put it close to the microphone.
Hey.
That'll show it. Hey, look, thanks heaps for coming in. And looking forward to seeing more music come out of you guys.
Yeah, definitely,
and
maybe.
We had fun with one of your songs. We did, for the first time ever, we put a float in the New Year's Eve parade 2020. And we thought we're going to make some noise, because normally it's just the bagpipes is the only noise. So we got some loudspeakers up on a trailer and made a lot of noise. And we started off when we played Wicked Man was the first track we played.
Nice and heavy.
And I wasn't on the float. I was filming it from the side, so I was in amongst the crowd and I heard people like they were like, "Whoa, what's happening?" As we came around the corner and Wicked Man starts pumping. So yeah, that was a really
awesome
experience.
You've got to love
awesome
that bass entry, eh?
Yeah, no, it's
Vince
good, man.
And David from Raglan Tattoo, mate.
All right, we're going to go out, folks, with Lost Tribe Aotearoa, the new track, Shaka. And I'll see you all again tomorrow morning.
Change, so each and everybody got a smile on their face, oh yeah. Me gonna break the chains, so let's see your hands in the air. We gonna make a change, so let's see your hands in the air.